Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved and loves you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. And here's the cry that we should have in our prayers. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. And how can you be a blessing to others? First of all, by being present in Christ. Second of all, choosing that you will place yourself in His Word and that you will share that with other people. I'm really excited to have Davis come up. Davis Ashley, I just love the man so much. Powerful man of studying God's Word. A powerful man in regards to preaching and teaching. But you know, one of the greatest things about Davis that I love and appreciate is that in order to be a great servant, you need to be humble and willing to do whatever the Master, whatever the Lord wants you to do. And that's the man that Davis is. And I think you all know that, for those of you who know Davis. And so I'm excited to have him come up and preach. And if you'll take a look at your little program, The Power of Being Present in Your Conversations. And I asked Davis to do this specifically because he is that man for me. How many times have we spoken on the phone and spoken face to face, and there's just an amazing mutual encouragement and love and growth, and you get fired up after we're done spending time together, huh? And he's an amazing man. And so it gives me great pleasure to introduce Davis Ashley. Bring him up. And when Davis gets done preaching, it would be great if we also screamed and yelled and clapped too. I was a little bit weak sauce last night after some of the preachers were done. So you know what? Let's appreciate it. See, Phil, I'm loving on you, man. You're not weak sauce.
All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's really great to see you guys. It's really great to be in your presence and have you be in my presence, because you're before my face, you're in my eyes, and I am the same to you. You know, some sage advice that was given to me, some of the best advice I've ever received, and you're going to be blown away when you hear how profound this is, and that is, do whatever is right in front of you to the best of your ability. It sounds pretty complex, right? Do whatever is right in front of you to the best of your ability. You'd think that that would be common sense, but when that was said to me years ago, it's always stuck with me, and I've had to remind myself time and time again. Because what else do you have except for what is right in front of you? I mean, really, we can make plans for the future, but even while we are planning for the future, our plans are right in front of us. It goes hand in hand with the idea that today is the only day that we have. We don't actually have, you never have tomorrow, and yesterday is gone, so just really going to need to focus on today. You know, it has been said that, well, I should say, a recent Harvard study, this is a quote from a thing I found online, a recent Harvard study concluded that 46.9% of our waking hours are spent thinking about something other than what is right in front of us. Now, of course, sometimes that's very helpful because we can do some pretty mechanical routine type things and think about things that are important. I mean, life just has a lot of things that don't really take a lot of effort and thought that go into it, brushing your teeth, that kind of a thing. But how much of our day are we really focused on what we are doing? We spend a lot of our time either rehearsing the future or replaying the past, which of course is most of the time destructive. When we do this, the actual tasks that we're doing are carried on autopilot with little focus or intention. You know, Mark Twain has the quote, "I've been through a lot of horrible things in my life, a few of which have actually happened. Meaning, you know, when you worry and you're concerned and you're filled with anxiety and your mind is really focused on, man, how's the future going to go? That can have a tendency of dominating your life. And that's pretty common to mankind. Indeed, we can spend over 75% of our time on autopilot. This can be productive, like I said, but can also be a setback. You can really miss what is going on right in front of you. Jesus wants us to be people. We really are. We care about people. We love people. We can see people either as a burden or as a blessing. I love the words to that song that we just sang. It was awesome. We've got to have the right attitude. We've got to have the right mindset. How can Jesus be present in the lives of the people that we're trying to reach if we are not mentally present ourselves? We've got to pay attention to what's going on right in front of us in a conversation. We've got to really pay attention to other people and to care about them and to express that with our body language and our focus and our connection with them. And if we don't do that, we're really not going to impart the gospel. We're not going to impart the message of life and salvation to other people. So that's what my message is about this morning: the power of presence in our conversations. So we have an advantage, or should have an advantage, over most of the people in this world. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Wow, when this person was talking to me, it was like I was the only person in the room." A lot of charismatic people, and I know you can use charisma for the wrong reasons and kind of hype people up and everything, but a lot of men and women that are highly respected as being leaders in like the business arena are people who have the ability to make you feel like you're the only person in the room. They're paying attention to what you're saying. They care about you. We are those very kinds of people. We have that ability. It's the whole expression, please silence your phone. You know, I think we're going to hear a little bit of that later on. I mean, how horrible would it be if we're trying to talk to somebody who really needs our counsel, our wisdom, our insight, really needs to pray with us, really just needs to relate to us, really needs to express themselves and know that somebody else out there actually cares just a little bit, because nobody does. And we're like, well, excuse me, I'm getting a phone call, or I just got a text, or whatever. You know, we have got to be present in our conversations if Christ is also to be present in us and in that conversation. So that's really where I'm going with this. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we love you so very much. We are so thankful to be able to be here, to get into your word, to examine what the scripture says. I pray that with all humility, we would receive the word implanted, which is able to save our souls. It's able to create and cultivate that faith within us and that desire to love others, to really genuinely express the truth and the light with integrity that stands out, that's different than the darkness of this world. So I pray that you'd help us to be very mindful about what your word says about this very important topic. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a stewardship of our words. And our words are exceedingly powerful. It was by the word of God that the universe was created as he spoke it into existence. When we speak to people, we are creating thoughts in their minds. We're creating a mental image in their mind of who they are. And we're expressing who we're reaffirming who we are. Our words are very, very important, very powerful. And indeed, Jesus says, you will give an account for every careless word spoken. We find ourselves in situations where people, again, are hurting or needing counsel. They're grieving or suffering. They're remorseful or they're looking for the truth. Are we able to take advantage of those opportunities and speak to them and be prepared, as the scripture says, when the moment arises? We need to be present and willful and mindful of the conversations that we have with people. Every conversation that we have is a kind of opportunity to create something that glorifies Christ in the minds of another person. So let's be exceedingly diligent to allow Christ to be present in us and manifest himself in our conversations. Where I'd like to go with this morning, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. I thought that this would be a great scripture text to maybe add a little bit of a skeleton an outline that I can follow here. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, and it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." Okay, very important. Lots of good things in there. The first thing that I'd like to bring out about this passage here is let know. That presumes that it communicates that we've got the ability to control what comes out of our mouth. We've got the ability to control what proceeds from us. We've got the ability to control what we are intending on creating. We've got the ability to be mindful and willful and intentional. Even before we get into a conversation, we can consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We can consider how we're going to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. We can always be ready to give an offense, a defense for the hope that is within us, yet with gentleness and reverence. We are the kind of people, we're prepared to talk. We are. And it's not natural. Because naturally speaking, most of us, generally, the males, not necessarily all, but you know, we could easily just want to be left alone, kind of be reclusive, just kind of, you know, don't bug me, don't bother me, kind of want to just do my thing. By the power and the grace of Christ, we are transformed into people. We're the most sociable people that there are on the planet. Maybe not playing Yahtzee and Twister, but relating, interacting, talking, dialoguing, whatever. You know, Phil and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. He's like, man, if so, you know, I don't know a thing about baseball. If somebody wants to talk to me about baseball, I'm going to talk about baseball. Why? Not because I love baseball, because I love them. And I want to communicate that I care. And it might just be small talk. And at times it feels very burdensome and annoying. It's like, man, I don't want to small talk about this. I got things I want to do, but it's an investment. Small talk is a small investment for bigger payouts down the road. Because when we're communicating to people that we're willing to talk and we're willing to chit-chat about things, you know, that means that we're somebody that's approachable, somebody that they can have a relationship with, somebody that they can talk to later on about much more important things. It's like we're planting seeds of trust, just those little tiny spider webs, the small talk conversations build spider webs of trust that turn into cables of strong relationships down the road. And it doesn't get there if we're not intentional, if we're not willful, if we're not deliberate. How are you going to take the gospel to somebody if you're not present, if you don't have presence of mind in our conversations with people? I mean, over and over again, you see that example throughout the scripture. Some of the more ready, I guess, apparent examples and illustrations that pop out of my mind, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. If you go through, take the time to kind of parse all of that out, there's all sorts of things that were happening there, all sorts of rabbit trails and misdirections that were happening, and Jesus just kept a presence of mind and an intentional focus and purpose. He was moving that conversation one step forward, one step up, every step of the way, because he loved that woman, and he was giving her gifts, the gifts of his time. We've got such limited time, such limited time. Another illustration that I can think of, course, well, Jesus in his conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Got some special private one-on-one time. Jesus is helping Nicodemus to understand the Word of God as it in the plan of God as it's unfolding. I think of Priscilla and Aquila pulling Apollos aside and explaining to him the way of God more accurately. At the tail end of Acts chapter 18, they were listening carefully, and they very skillfully and tactfully were able to discuss the scriptures with this great man of God. It was these small private conversations that wound up making a huge public difference for the sake of the kingdom later on. And so if we're not valuing the small talk times, if we're not valuing just the quick exchanges, it's not really going to grow into something more. And it's not some weird, sleazy, social trick or some sort of technique. It's actually a character thing. If we love people, we're going to be willing to do the small talk. A lot of times it's easy to see the scripture. You know, we read the history of the scripture, and it's just this condensed character display. There was a lot of things going on in the lives of the men and the women in the scripture that wasn't recorded at all. So we might have a tendency to think, boy, I'm just thinking of Abraham, for example. I mean, there was a lot that was going on in his life that wasn't recorded, and we just look at these excellent prime examples of his character, and we think, man, he must have never had any downtime. He must have never had anybody want to tell him the same joke for the 20th time. He must have not had somebody that, you know, was catching him, wanting to ask him questions as after he woke up from a nap, or, you know, all of those hard times. But the fact is that God is expecting us to control what comes out of our mouth when we're under pressure, regardless of external circumstances. We need to have already made ahead of time the willful decision, today I'm ready, today I'm available, today if whatever is right in front of me, I'm going to be on the air. A technique that I've come across is, you know, when we're talking with somebody and they're right in front of us, we need to have the mental ability to flip a switch. And so what's happening right here, right now, is the most important thing. Now, granted, as we're going to see, according to the need of the moment, the needs can even change from moment to moment. But what is the best thing for the kingdom right now at this particular moment? I like to think in my mind, flipping a switch and there's that red light that comes on like a radio station that says live on the air. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
If we're listening to a radio program, which people don't do a lot of, or even a podcast. You're listening to a podcast and all of a sudden the podcaster, the speaker just stops and there's just like this dead silence for a long time. You wouldn't tune in. You wouldn't listen to something like that. What's going on? We got to think of ourselves as we're interacting with people on a one-on-one basis. We're live. We're on the air. I'm live with Robert Ferguson on the air, and this is what we're talking about. And so I'm going to be really mindful and purposeful and intentional about what comes out of my mouth. And I don't have a particular scripted plan for Robert and where Robert personally needs to go. I just want to be there for him as a brother in Christ, and to talk about whatever's on his mind, and to figure out a way that I can express psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and the concept of good, positive, godly things in our conversation, and help take him forward one step, or take me forward one step. And that's really what it's all about. So as I had said earlier, in Matthew chapter 12, 36, you know the verse, we will give account for everything that is spoken. Okay? Also, James chapter 3, very good section of scripture to deal with the difficulty of taming the tongue. It's a supernatural man who can tame the tongue and can direct his or her thoughts perfectly according to the need of the moment.
Amen.
The natural man can't do that. So it says here back in our text, I know I had to turn over to those two things. Let's go to back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We need to listen carefully to avoid unnecessary conflict. Listen carefully for understanding. It's all too often that when we're listening to people speak, we might have the tendency of tuning them out. Either we're bored or uninterested or tired or thinking, boy, I can maintain the appearance of listening. Meanwhile, I'm going to think about what I really want to think about. And we can miss some very key things. One time I was talking with a fella, and we were walking along, and I really wasn't paying attention to what he was saying. And it's true, the wind was blowing pretty hard. I just kind of had a hard time hearing him, so I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm just going to like keep going, yep, yep, yep. So we got to the end of our walk, and he's like, man, so what should I do? Because I am really struggling. What should I do in this situation? And I felt so bad because I had to say, I actually was not really paying very close attention to what you were saying. How do you think that fellow felt? I mean, I felt ridiculous and embarrassed, but how do you think he felt? I mean, I have to wonder I don't know if he's actually really spoke that much to me. He didn't live here, so I'm kind of off. He doesn't live where I live, so I'm kind of off the hook there. But I feel horrible about that. So learn from my mistake. The fact is that, man, if we love people, if we care about people, we're going to be paying attention to what's going on, to what they're saying, and what they're interested in. If you might think, well, I'm just wasn't interested. We need to be interested. We need to change our mind and be interested in what they are interested in. You know, we live, man does not live by bread alone, but lives on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We know the scripture says in Matthew 14 that out of the heart come the murders, thefts, adultery, slanders, all of those things. So it's a heart issue. It's a mind issue. It's how we're going to think about other people. So most people, they really just want to be understood. They really just want to maybe not necessarily agreed with, but just somebody is validating that they've got an opinion, that this is their thoughts, that this is where they're coming from. They want to be listened to. They want to be heard. They want to be valued. They want to be assured that, again, like I said, somebody cares about them. There are times, of course, you guys have experienced this too. Sarah and I will talk. We won't necessarily want advice at that particular time from one another. We'll just simply want to share. This is what's going on. Man, I just kind of got to process this externally. I've got to get this out on the table to be able to wrap my brain around this. We need to be available for people. It's kind of annoying if we're too quick to give advice. You know, we don't always have to fix things. Sometimes people just fixing is just simply knowing that you're there listening and that you care and that you've got their best interest in mind. There are people in my life who are very much advocates. They are advocates for me and for others as opposed to adversaries. And so when we talk, they're advocating and helping to move forward. And that's really what is the essence of what's being spoken of here. I know that there are people in my life I can go to if I want to grumble or complain about such and such a person. And I already know that ahead of time. So that to go to them is a preconscious, preconceived idea to grumble or to complain. There are also people in my life that I can go to and I can talk to because I want to step forward and I want to step up. These people are present in the conversation, and Christ is present in the conversation. And these are the kind of people that are peacemakers. They help bring peace because they're advocates for not only me, but for the other person that I'm having an issue with and trying to work things out. You understand what I'm saying? We desperately need people, and have people, I should say, in the church that are able to think, what is best for everybody involved in this situation? What's best for the kingdom? Okay. How can we work together to take some steps forward here as opposed to just being a sounding board that's going to, it never helps somebody. You never help somebody. You might think you're being a friend to them, joining in, grumbling or complaining or whatnot. It's always very destructive because that's never where God wants us to go. So, quality listening. Again, like I had mentioned before, our body language says a lot. Let's see. Let's go to Psalms chapter, Psalm 141. Let's take a look at Psalm 141. Psalm 141, verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Okay, and then let's also go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, and we'll take a look here at verse 23. "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles." Okay, lots and lots of stuff here in the Proverbs, but just another one here. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. "With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He'll be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." You want to create life in somebody. You want to help or allow the Lord to use you to create new life in somebody. Man, you better pay close attention to your words. You better be very, very careful about what comes out of your mouth and with what intention. how else are these people going to know the living Christ, the Messiah? How are people going to know if they're not going to learn it from those who claim to represent him? Yes, it's true, people can observe our deeds, and they surely will, as we heard last night, observe the love that we have for one another, but a huge portion of that has to do with our words. So we've really got to grow up in spiritual maturity, and as Christians, people who love Jesus, we got to make sure that our speech really is spiritually minded, encouraging, edifying, building others up, not letting any unwholesome or rotten thing come out of our mouth. So let's take a look here at this next section, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. You know, words are like Legos, I tell my school class all the time. I have the opportunity to teach some younger kids. In fact, as Chloe said, is one of the kids that's in my class, and words are like Legos. We're building one another up with our words. We're not tearing each other down. We're building something. We're constructing something. Good thing on top of good thing. Everybody loves to play with Legos, at least. Most people like to. I still like to play with Legos. But words of healing, words of hope, words of restoration. Also, it is edifying, reproving, rebuking, exhortation. Those things are all edifying because they're building. You know, I've said this back home before. I can encourage Jeff Landsgaard. I can encourage him to buy a Traeger smoker or whatever. I can encourage my brother to buy a motorcycle. I can encourage somebody. Yeah, man, you should do it. I can encourage people to do foolish things, not that buying a smoker would be foolish, but so a person can encourage somebody just into the wrong direction or for something that's not particularly spiritual. But if we're building something up for the kingdom of God, really that is encouragement. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Romans chapter 15, verse 2 says, "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to his edification." I'll tell you what, some of the most edifying things that have ever happened to me have been people that are, I have felt like I was taught, I mean, this may sound silly, but I feel like I'm talking with Jesus because they love the Lord and their character and their conduct is just really very much, I don't know, what I would think, what I see here in the scripture. And they're rebuking me or reproving me or helping me to change the way that I'm thinking about something. That's all very edifying and encouraging. I want to do what's right. You want to do what's right. We want to know what the Word of God says. We need people that are willing to be brave enough in our life to say something, not just to hold our hands and be friends. I've been really good friends. I'm a good listener. I can listen to somebody all the way as they go to hell. I can try to understand them. I can kind of, you know, make excuses for them or whatever. That is not brotherly love or brotherly kindness to do that. Have the ability to know what's going to take this person the next step forward, the next step up. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. So what is wholesome to talk about? What is wholesome? Here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, taking a look at verse 6, it says, "All these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontals on your forehead." What's the whole picture here? The whole picture is that God wants the Jewish people to understand the law, to talk about the law, to figure out ways that the law applies in their life, even though it might not be specific. You know, we've got New Testament principles galore, and this is foundational, just awesome, awesome stuff. And it's going to be manifested and applied in different ways in our lives because our lives are different, right? This isn't necessarily, I mean, parts of it, I suppose, could be considered to be a textbook, but it's God's principles that are to be infused in us, God's programming that's put into our minds so that any given situation that we're in, what's going to come out of us is the right Christ-like thing to do because we're doing what we believe by faith what Christ would do. You know, this is brought out to me real quick as a side note. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. I want to read this one real quick. It says, in speaking of the way that fathers discipline their sons, for they discipline us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness. So read that again. For they disciplined us for a short time as what? As seemed best to them. As seemed best to them. We've got the responsibility to do what is best to us, what seems the best to us with what's right in front of us, being present in our conversations as we are, as we're building people up. So, let's see. What does this person need? How do you know what a person needs if you don't have a good relationship with them? If you don't have that foundational piece in place to be able to help somebody or to give them wise counsel about their particular issue. So, according to the need of the moment, you know, let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. And all of this is really going to have to take place while we are very carefully listening and paying attention and reading the circumstance correctly. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. You know, you never step in the same river twice. It's been well said because, I mean, as soon as you lift up your foot, that water that you had stepped in is down the stream and all the sediment and everything that's kicked up. You never, ever step in the same river twice. So right here, right now, what is the very best thing for the kingdom? And that can change at any moment. Take, for example, in the assembly, like, if there are people who are there that are not Christians and they're wanting to hear the word of God, they've come, they really need people to reach out to them and to greet them, right, afterwards. So one time, fairly recently, there was a fellow who would make the claim that he is a pillar. And as I was walking over to greet these guests that had come into our assembly, he just kind of got right in my way and just wanted to chit-chat with me about my life. Now, that wasn't the right thing for him to do. What the need of the moment was for us to get over there and to say hi to these people who had come in. And if this person were thinking, hey, you know, I'm a shepherd of God's people, or I want to be, they should have been more interested in greeting those people as well instead of just chit-chatting with me. On the other hand, you know, if I'm just talking with somebody right after assembly is over and we're just chit-chatting about things, that's according to the need of the moment. But then something can change because I can see somebody over here that's unhappy about something, or I might see a brother or sister in Christ that reminds me I need to get to them and I need to talk to them about something. I need to break this off, change gears, go over there. That's according to the need of the moment as well. So we've got the faith to be able to decide that. My point of what I'm saying is that we don't have to be held captive by whatever is right in front of us. If something else comes along that really does, for the sake of the kingdom, need more time, need more attention. Sometimes it also happens that we'll be talking with people and they'll want to share some private things, and then we'll have others that are kind of like hovering around wanting to talk to us, wanting to get our attention. We've also got to be mindful as people around, hey, what's going on over here in this conversation? What's really taking place? Is this a private thing? We need to be thinking about, again, the needs of everybody in the entire assembly. I think that when other people are being present, we need to respect that and we need to encourage that as well. So not just us, we need to look for that when that's happening. Okay, so let's see here. As we know, Proverbs 15, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Let's go to Proverbs 15, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4 says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. You know, brother offended is harder to win than a fortified city. If we exasperate people or break trust, people do have a tendency of shutting down and becoming much more difficult to influence. And really, isn't that what it's about? God wants us to use our opportunities to influence other people. He wants us to keep those opportunities to influence other people, or else how are they going to know the truth? How are they going to get the Word of God right in their life? Let's see here. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, in that last part, so let him who steals, steal no, or whoops, nope, that's not the right one. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Our words really are a gift. You know, we have to develop the ability to do what it says here in Colossians chapter 4. Let's run over there real quick. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6.
Amen.
It says, conduct yourself with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how to respond to each person. Man, we got to get good at reading the situation and figuring out, okay, what's going to be the most effective? And the way to do that is just to do it. So it was mentioned last night, the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. I think it's a really, really great book. I can't remember who mentioned it. But in it, the author uses an illustration of a photography class. And he says there are two groups of people. Half of the class was going to be based on the quantity of pictures that they take. Okay, however many pictures they could produce that were relatively good pictures, and then the other part of the class was going to be graded on just one, their masterpiece, the very best picture that they could take. So didn't matter how many pictures they took, as long as it was like top notch, the best one that they submitted for their grade, that was the grade that they were going to get. And he said the reality was the people that took the best pictures were the ones that were taking the most pictures. Just because they were taking every opportunity. They were learning. They were trying. It was through trial and error, through opportunity. They were thinking that way. I got to take the picture now. I got to take the picture now. They wound up coming out with the very best pictures in the end because they were trying. I've got a lot of books in my library back home. At least I think a few hundred. And if I had a Bible study or a good conversation, ongoing conversation with somebody for every book that was in my library, I would be much wiser and much better off than had I read all of those books, which I haven't. I have a problem with buying things on Amazon and kind of thinking, okay, if I have this book, somehow by osmosis I will have this knowledge in my life. Now, I'm a big fan of reading, of course. So it's not that I'm saying anything wrong with the books. But what I am saying is this, guys, sometimes I live in an ivory tower and read too much and not do too much. Not get out there, not stick my neck out there and take risk and take a lot of pictures and try. And I'm telling you, a huge portion of that, a step forward and a step up that I am wanting to take, is being present in my conversations with people. As we're out in the world, just it's amazing what happens if you just focus on what people are saying and you genuinely and with sincerity and authenticity care. Because people don't really have that. A lot of people just flat do not have that. You might presume that they do, but they really don't. We need to be really good at just leaving a pebble in somebody's shoe. I read a book, speaking of, called Tactics. It's really good. And one of the main principles that this guy is driving at is that when we're interacting with people, we just want to leave a pebble in their shoe, something uncomfortable, something that they can't ignore, something that's a little uneasy. And, man, I might not be able to deal with this like right now, but when I get a chance, I'm taking my shoe off and emptying that pebble. We want to put a pebble in somebody's shoe. We don't have to take somebody from being a hardcore militant atheist to disciple-making Christian in one conversation. In just one two-minute conversation, we need to take a step forward and just put a pebble in their shoe so that, oh man, that's just kind of uncomfortable and uneasy. I got to think about that. That takes a lot of presence of mind in conversations to be able to do that. You know, that's people outside of Christ How about the people that we're discipling? Do we need to pay attention to what's going on in their life to be able to help them to discern the way of Christ, what's the scriptural thing to do? You better believe it, man. You better be the best listener. How about your spouse, husband, wife, children? Ought we to pay attention to them? Ought we to be present? I can't tell you how many times I have heard people tell me, like when my kids were first born, man, it goes by quick. Goes by quick. You better seize the day, seize the opportunity. You better enjoy your time with these kids, Davis. It goes by quick. Sarah, and I've heard that like a lot. That's the truth. And you guys know it who have older kids, man, it goes by just like that. Just like that. I can't even believe. We were at the Oregon coast yesterday, and the place where we happened to access the beach was, we didn't plan it this way, but it was the very same spot. It was the last time I had gone to the beach, like 11 years ago, maybe, with Claire and my three, I think they all had to be there. So all four of the kids were there. It was the very same place that we had gone to the beach, and that brought out a bunch of good memories, and we got out some pictures on my phone of, wow, can you believe us? We were here like 11 years ago, and here we are again. And what am I saying? Man, it just went by so fast. It went by so fast from now until then. You know, to a large degree, our life is going to be the sum total of these conversations that we have with people. I want to take a look at something here. I want to point something out that I think I skipped over. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, take a look at verse 17. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, and I want you to notice how fruit is often associated, not always, because Paul wanted to come to Rome to be able to obtain some fruit among them. He wanted to see people converted into Christ. That's certainly fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 and 18, this is in the context of words, even so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You will know them by their fruits. See, then it moves on into saying, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, and then previously up in verse 15, beware the false prophets. Again, that has to do with speaking and words. Words really are a very good indicator of what is going on in the heart. Mm-hmm. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 32. Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. Whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whoever shall speak a word against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Again, contextually, we're talking about speech here when it comes to fruit. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. Very similar. There's no good tree which produces good fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit, for men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. And down in verse 35, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what's good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what's evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. God has predetermined and ordained that we would take the gospel message through our words. Of course, that's included in the written word, etc. But, oh man, we've got to be so careful about what comes out of our mouth and how we use the ability to speak and create ideas and help people connect the dots. This is a very weighty matter for the Christian. The Christian of all people and of all time needs to be careful what he or she says. Again, according to the need of the moment, with wisdom, giving grace, our speech ought to be a gift that at that moment builds one another up with the right care, the right concern, a gift appropriate to the level, for the level of where the person is at to whom we are speaking. Also, forgiveness, both giving to others and forgiveness, imparting that idea. Let's see, So, I got some more disjointed thoughts here, but I think I'm going to skip them. So the fact is that, again, here's the conclusion. And it's a quote that is either has been attributed to Socrates and Eleanor Roosevelt, many, many people actually over the years. So who knows exactly who said this, but I think it's a really good one. Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people. You know, we really want to be the kind of people we're spending our time talking about that which matters most, the very things that God would have us do, because our words have power and we have influence. We need to be people of integrity and character and honesty and genuine sincerity as we're focused on what is right in front of us to the best of our ability. Thank you.
Amen.
So I was given a couple of announcements as you were preaching, and I was totally intent on what you were saying, so I scribbled them down. So hopefully I'm going to get this right. But you know what? You come up here and you speak, but every time we've talked, you are intentional.
Yep.
How many would agree? When you speak with Davis, he's intentional.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, you're intentional, man. And you... you are invested when you are with people, and I'm so deeply thankful for that. That's who Jesus was, and that's who you are.